This is your first time here, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Bless you. Yes, sir. Elder Larry Wise from Randolph, Mississippi. Bethany.
Bethany, this is Ekru.
Ekru, okay. That's the city. Okay. Bethany at Ekru, Mississippi. We are happy to have Elder Wise. And, this is his first time here, so may God bless you richly.
Thank you. You.
Appreciate you.
It's good to be here. You know, Psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. We're told in Psalms 100 to come before his presence with singing. We're told, and know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his sheep, and the sheep of his pasture. And so he sure has some good pasture today. For us to lie down, I feel refreshed from the morning services that we had this morning, and the good singing that's been lifted up to the mountaintops as we sang that song, Lift Me Up Above the Shadows. And certainly I feel like we've been lifted up above the shadows. I'm from Ekru, Mississippi. That's a small town close to Pontotoc, close to Tupelo, Mississippi. Those are more recognizable names than Ekru is. But we do have the reputation of having the largest furniture manufacturing. All of you have heard of Ashley Furniture, I'm sure. Well, we have 3,000 employees in Ekru, Mississippi. So I guess that's the distinguishing feature of Ekru, Mississippi. But I'm from Randolph, Mississippi. And the reason, but I grew up in Hurricane, Mississippi. So we got a lot of names down in Mississippi. But I noticed a Randolph coming on over here, so we aren't unique. And Brother Austin said there's a lot of Randolphs around. In Hebrews chapter 2, I want to read a verse of Scripture. Pray for us. For as much then, this is in verse 14 of Hebrews 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The writer says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I believe, that is under consideration. The children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now, who's these children that he's talking about that are partakers of flesh and blood? We read in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Those are those children that he's talking about. Taste death for every man. And then, of course, lest anybody misunderstood that he's talking about every man and woman and child that shall ever live, the next verse identifies this every man that he tasted death for by the grace of God. No wonder Paul would say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. No wonder 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 would say, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him of whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory. Children, sons. Children of God, we're sons of God. Aren't you glad that we're a son of the Father? We're the son of the Heavenly Father. Sons of the Heavenly Father. And I always tell the Lord's children, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to be a son of God. If we are God's child, and we're one right now, because John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. God is a now God. But at the same time he's a now God, he was the same yesterday, and he's the same today, and he's the same tomorrow. He doesn't change. We see change all over the world. But here, when we talk about God and his son, Jesus Christ, they're unchangeable. Amen. We read over in Malachi 3:6, he says, I am the Lord God, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed, bringing many sons unto glory. Children of God, if we get to glory, we're going to be carried to glory, brought to glory by this one man, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that he became a partaker of flesh and blood because the children are a partaker of flesh and blood. You remember how the Lord made Adam in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. And the Bible tells us there in about verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. God, his Son, and the Spirit. Let us make man in our image. And the Bible says, and after our likeness. And so God created man. Male and female created he them. He gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and all the creeping things of the earth. And was made in his image and after his likeness. But something happened along the way. Adam was given a command in the Garden of Eden and says of all the trees you can eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can't partake of that, because on the day you eat, you'll surely die. Well, eventually he did partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happened? Romans 5 and verse 12. For he says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Well, what's changed now? Sin has entered in the world. When the Lord originally made Adam, he looked on everything that he had made, and that was after 6 days, and he says it was very good. But now we read over in the Roman letter chapter 3, when the Bible tells us there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, it was very good at the beginning, but now there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Why? Because sin has entered into the world, and death by sin hath passed upon all men, including us, the sons of God. Every man, woman, boy, child is polluted by sin, but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to atone for the sins of the sons of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he had to be a partaker of flesh and blood. But notice, he says he took part of the same. Turn over to the Philippian letter, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 and 8. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took himself the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of men. He became a partaker of flesh and blood. He was made in the likeness of men. He was like me. He was like you. I don't think he looked like me. God forbid he would. But he was made in the likeness of men. And he took part of the same. He had a human body. He had blood coursing throughout his veins. But he was not contaminated with what I'm contaminated with. And that is sin. Sin has entered into the world. But when Brother Lawrence talked about Mary, when the Lord told her by that angel that she would conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He didn't have that sin of Adam coming through his veins. He was a partaker of flesh and blood. He took part of the same. Not all. Why? The Bible tells us that he was holy and harmless. And it's already been quoted. There was no guile found in his mouth. He was a partaker of flesh and blood. It was man that brought sin into the world. And it's going to be a man that's going to atone for that sin. Romans 5:19 tells us, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And he's going to bring many sons to glory. For one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by disobedience, many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, shall many be made righteous. How many? Romans 8:29 tells you. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Did you know the Lord's not ashamed to call us brethren? I think some of God's children are ashamed to call him brother, but he's not ashamed to call us, because he tells us in this same chapter of Hebrews, verse 11, when he says, "For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren." Not ashamed to call them brethren. I like that term, brethren. Brethren in Christ Jesus. And when I say brethren, you sisters are all included in his brethren too. For in Christ Jesus there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. For we all one in Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm glad of that. The Bible tells us now here that he's going to bring these sons into glory. He likewise took part of the same, was made in the likeness of men. Romans chapter 8 verse 3 tells us, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." Wasn't nothing wrong with the law. It was perfect because perfect God gave it to it. He said, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." He took a flesh and blood body. And in that flesh and blood body, he atoned for that sin. He says, "The law couldn't do it. It was weak through the flesh. But God sent in his own Son for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And what it causes death, natural death, and what causes eternal death, it is sin. But Jesus came and condemned sin, and he condemned it in his own body. No wonder Romans 8:33 will say, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Who is he that condemneth? Who's going to condemn you to eternal woe and misery? None, because you have got a mediator, one man, who has entered in and has paid the sin debt. As he tells us in 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus the Lord. One man, the man. No wonder Pilate would say, "Behold, the man." He might have not known what he was talking about, but he told the truth. "Behold, the man. Christ Jesus the Lord, the man," but not any ordinary man. He was a man sent from God. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son in this world, children of God. No wonder he left heaven in immortal glory, that we as God's children would be someday see him in heaven in immortal glory. And likewise, he took part of the same, but he had to do that because certainly the law couldn't do it and man couldn't do it. If righteousness could have come by the law, there would have been no need for Christ Jesus to come down into this world, condescend, and suffer a cruel death at Calvary if it could be any other way. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, about verse 21, he says, "I do not frustrate the grace of law, grace of Christ. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." If it comes by the law, what's use for Christ to come in this world? He says it's all in vain, children of God. It would have been no need, but it couldn't be that way. If perfection came by the Levitical priesthood, he tells us in Hebrews 7:11, he says, "What further need will there be another priest rise after the order of Melchizedek and be called after the order of Aaron?" There would have been no need, children of God. Where man was marred back in the Garden of Eden. And he tells us over in Jeremiah chapter 18, he says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house." And he says, "I'll cause you to hear my words." And he went down to the potter's house, and the potter was wrought at work on the wheel. And the clay that he formed, he was marred in the hands of the potter. And he fashioned it in another vessel as it seemed good in his sight. Marred. And who fashioned it? It was the potter that fashioned it. The clay didn't have anything to do with it. It was the potter that has fashioned it as it seemed good in his sight. And by the way, you know why you're a child of God today? It pleased God to make you his child. Amen. The Bible tells us that over in 1 Samuel chapter 12, about verse 22 and 23. When he tells us there, "For God will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, for it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." It pleased the Lord to make you his people. And who did he come to save? His people, children of God. The very language itself gives you an inclination that there are some people that are not his by choice, by love, by redemption, by birth, and one day in heaven and immortal glory. So he's come to save, and he did the job, children of God. Now, he tells us here it was marred, but he made another vessel. And the Bible tells us now there we are, have a manner of that image restored in us when we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice he says there's none good, no, not one. Jesus, talking about that rich young ruler that Brother Lawrence was talking about in Matthew chapter 19, about 16 and 17, when he asked that question, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He says, good master. Well, what did Jesus say? He says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Well, who can doubt that Jesus was good? Who can doubt that Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Why call thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Well, children of God, he was God manifest in the flesh. He was God manifest in the flesh. And you know, we shouldn't even have to argue about that. Because Timothy said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, believed on the world, preached unto the Gentiles, and received up into glory. And why was he received up into glory? Because the sacrifice had been made. And when Jesus Christ offered that sacrifice, he offered it without spot to God. And God was pleased with the offering and accepted the offering. And Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Express image. I don't know what I was embracing there, but it's the express image of his person. And who after by himself. And you underline those two words. By himself. Having purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. By himself, having purged our sins, the prophet spoke about. I looked and there was none to hope. I wondered and there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation. What happened to his very closest disciples? The Bible tells us that all forsake him and fled. But there's one that didn't forsake him until that final culmination at Calvary when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God could not look upon Jesus Christ at that particular time because he was paying the sin debt for every elect child of God. Jesus couldn't die in the absence of sin, but he did die. It wasn't his sin. The Bible plainly tells us that. Plainly, so it had to be somebody else's sin. And that's these sons, the children, he says, that are partakers of flesh and blood. He likewise took part of the same. And God took the sin that is in us and laid it on Christ and took the righteousness that was in him and laid it on us. You can't beat that with a stick.
That's right.
He has imputed something and charged us. No wonder Paul would say, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Isaiah spoke about it. He said, who is he? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Why? Because of, your mediator, Christ Jesus the Lord. So I said, we have this image now. I said, there's none good, no, not one. But the Bible tells us, make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. There's none good, no, not one. Well, the Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And Ecclesiastes tells us, Solomon says, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But he says, make the tree good and his fruit will be good. What happened? You don't make your tree good. The Lord puts that goodness on the inside of you, children of God. If there's any good in me, it's what God's put there.
Amen.
You know, someone said, there's a little good in all of us.
No.
The Bible doesn't say there's a little good in all of us.
That's right.
If there's any good in us, it's what the Lord put there, children of God. And then that goodness that the Lord has put in there goes back to the very beginning. It was good and very good. But when sin entered into the world, why, it all changed. And now the Lord has put that goodness inside of us. And he says there's none good but one. And the Bible tells us not only God dwells in us, but Jesus dwells in us. and the Holy Spirit as well. All of that. We find scriptures that said God dwells in you, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Children of God, I got hope to get home safe when we leave here. That's my expectation and hope to get there. I got a better hope than that. I got an expectation that I'll be in glory someday. I don't know about getting home, but I got an expectation in our God and in His Son that I'll get to glory by the grace of God.
Amen.
Why? Because of what this one has done, Christ Jesus the Lord. Now then, He was made in our likeness. Made in our likeness, but He didn't take that sin in His body was not there. There was no sin. Can you imagine for 33 and a half years and not a single sin that was ever in that time? He was subject to His parents. He must have obeyed His parents. Because He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. They must not have told Him He ever done nothing wrong. They had always told Him right. Children of God, this is a miraculous thing that has happened, children of God, for the Lord's children. Now then, what should we as children of God, and I'm going to finish up here in just a second. He tells us is to be made like Him. Now we're going to be made like Him in heaven and immortal glory. He was made like us while He was here. It had to be that way. But children of God, one day we're going to be like Him completely. But before we wait for that, while we wait for that day, wouldn't it be wonderful that we could be more like Him each and every day of our lives, and our lives would be conformed to His image, and we'd be more like Jesus Christ? I tell you what, a meeting like this will conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. No wonder preachers need the Spirit, because He says there's liberty, there's freedom. There's travel of mind. There's an express of freedom that you can speak freely when the Spirit of the Lord is there. He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now the Lord is that Spirit. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of our God. Aren't you glad here that we are open face? Because the prior verses tells us about the other administration, and He says their minds were blinded as Moses put a veil upon his face that they could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But the Lord Jesus Christ done away with that veil. He done away with that veil, but it's still on their face in the reading of the Old Testament, because He says their minds were blinded, and it's still there today.
Amen.
But He says we got an open face.
Yes,
we got an open face, not closed. I'm glad we got an open face to behold what? Where that Spirit of the Lord is, and we are changed from glory into glory. It seems to me like an airplane taking off. You get to altitude and you keep on going up. It's from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of our God. You're going from not from a hill to a mountain, children of God. You're going up.
Yeah.
And if you want to see Christ, that's the way you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go up. You can't go down, because man's been going down since the Garden of Eden. But if you want to see Christ, you got to go up. He tells us in the book of Isaiah 2, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And there He will teach us of His ways. And we'll learn things about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the best news is, David said in Psalm 17:15, he says, as for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. When I awake with Thy likeness, I shall be satisfied. Oh, when we awake with the likeness of Jesus Christ. Oh, who would object to being like Christ? But people object to predestination. Well, that's what that's all about. Romans 8:29 tells us, for, and I already quoted that, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
See, that's what it's all about. May God bless you, is our prayer.
Amen.